Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my good afternoon, 5 o'clock on Wednesday the 29th of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a threat to democracy. That's how new proposed legislation's been described by local authorities as the government seeks to impose functions on them without financial support. Meanwhile, the Isle of Man could soon see the introduction of free period products. And the post office says it could be rolling out expiry dates on stamps and postage labels. As always, drop me a message if you want to say hello. Text WhatsApp to 166177. Email studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest news headlines read by Siobhan Fletcher. Fastamai.
A threat to democracy, undermining trust and confidence, and creating an onerous financial burden were just some of the phrases used to describe a clause in a new piece of local authority legislation. It would allow the Department of Infrastructure to impose functions onto authorities without financial aid. During a hearing held yesterday into the Local Government Amendment Bill, leader of Douglas Council, Devon Watson, said that none of the local authorities received a robust and open consultation into the new clause.
Essentially, what they would like to do is completely undermine local autonomy and independence and completely rewrite the relationship between local authorities and national government. And you can't do that via an amendment. You can't do that without a proper national debate.
But DOI Minister Michelle Haywood says that it's not the DOI's intention to force functions onto local authorities.
I think my pushback to them would be say, why do you feel threatened? If you're providing the services that you know your residents want, why would a bill saying, but actually if you don't do that, we can take some action and we can make you do it, why would that be a threat?
A bid has been launched to make period products available in publicly coordinated toilets on the island to help people who are caught short and eliminate period poverty. Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher has been given leave to introduce a private members' bill on the issue. The Isle of Man Constabulary has this week launched Operation Uplift, its annual winter vehicle checks. It means an increased presence of officers performing random roadside stops over the coming weeks. And the Manx SPCA is inviting dogs and their owners to avoid the stress of trick-or-treaters and join them for a spooky stroll this Hop Tuesday. On Friday, walkers are invited to meet at Archalligan Plantation between 2 and 7pm. Further afield, flooding from Hurricane Melissa has killed 25 people in Haiti, whilst officials in Jamaica say it's too soon to know if anyone's died there after the Category 5 storm. The UK Prime Minister has refused to rule out tax rises in what would be break a Labour manifesto promise, and Santander has delayed the release of its results. The bank blames uncertainties over a car finance compensation scheme. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Siobhan, thank you. Gurumayad, let's take a look now at the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Further showers into this evening, some of them heavy in places, fresh to strong southwest winds veering northwest. Clearer skies return overnight, but it becomes less windy as well. Minimum temperature of 6 degrees Celsius. Starting to get a bit chilly, isn't it? Tomorrow, bright and dry, soon clouding over before rain arrives around midday, which will be quite persistent and heavy at times, especially in the evening. Top temperature tomorrow evening of 13 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
Ambitions Recruitment Consultants, covering all business sectors in the Isle of Man. Register online or email your CV to info@ambitions.co.im or ring 614-841. Ambitions, for all your recruitment needs, however big or small.
One Architectural Design Company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Patricia Wild Opticians is celebrating over 30 years of friendly, caring service in Farm Hill and Ramsey. Visit us for professional eye care with stress-free parking. Phone Patricia Wild Opticians on 813 977.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. Now, a threat to democracy, undermining trust and confidence, and creating an onerous financial burden. Those are just some of the phrases used to describe a clause in a new piece of local authority legislation. Currently, the clause would allow the Department of Infrastructure to impose any functions onto the authorities without financial aid. It denies it would do that without consultation, though. Ramsey Commissioner Joan McGuinness and Chair of Castletown Commissioners Tony Brown say they want to see it removed altogether.
I think a lot of what was being said by my colleagues was my view. I didn't feel the need to over-egg the pudding and elongate the debate to allow more questions through.
And what do you make of the hearing and how do you think it went from your perspective?
I mean, obviously disappointed that our concerns haven't been agreed with, but that's democracy, that's the process. I think, as I said in my final comment, what concerns me the most is that the safeguard that we're supposed to accept as being the to stop ridiculous things coming through is that Tynwald wouldn't go through without against consultation of local authorities. And yet what you've seen today is all the local authorities being consulted, being well against it, and the proposal going through, which I think kind of proves the point.
Has that surprised you about how well all the local authorities have come together to go against this?
It's always very unusual when you get such solidarity in these matters, but I think everyone recognises the wide-reaching implications of this clause.
Well, because what the actual clause does, it enables the department, the minister, and then council ministers to seek Tynwald approval, a one-stage system, to approve regulations that can alter an Act of Tynwald. And they can make any changes at all that relate to any Act of Tynwald that relates to local government. It's quite fundamental. I mean, it's quite extreme, to be honest.
Chair of Castletown Commissioners Tony Brown speaking there. Before that was Joan McGuinness. Now, several publicly owned companies have pushed back against being brought under the Ireland's Freedom of Information Act, saying it could harm their operations and add significant cost. Their comments have been published in a written response from the Chief Minister following a consultation on FOI reform. Lewis Foster's here with us now. Fastamite, what are these companies most concerned about then?
Fastamite, Christian. So yeah, the main theme across the responses is concern about commercial sensitivity and workload. The Isle of Man Meat Company, for example, said it doesn't see itself as a public service company, but rather a commercial venture, partly owned by government, but trading independently. It warned that being subject to FOI could expose sensitive pricing information and harm both the farming industry and the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture.
Yeah, so there were quite a number of others as well, weren't there?
Absolutely. The Manx Development Corporation took a similar view. It said major management decisions are already covered by Treasury under existing agreements and that extra transparency rules could actually reduce value for money by weakening competitive tenders. Cinema NX went even further, saying FOI requests could be so costly to process that they might threaten the company's solvency. The Steam Packet raised fears over the potential volume of requests, saying it might need to hire another full-time employee just to handle them.
And just bring us up to speed on what the government has actually decided to do about all of this.
So the Council of Ministers has decided not to expand the FOI regime for now, meaning no additional publicly owned companies will be added to Schedule 1. Instead, ministers are urging those companies to voluntarily publish more information where possible. They've also reaffirmed that FOI requests will remain free of charge, despite calls from some quarters to introduce fees or limits.
And this isn't actually the end of the story politically, is it?
Not just yet, no. The Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas is continuing to press for reform. He's tabled a motion for December's Tynwald sitting calling for Manx Radio to be removed from the list of authorities covered by FOI, reflecting government's stance on arm's-length bodies. But at the same time, he's proposing that all future publicly owned companies should automatically fall within the FOI Act unless specific exemptions apply. So the debate over transparency looks set to continue.
Very interesting. Lewis, thank you very much.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, news of the Manx Telecom and Jersey Telecom tie-up didn't exactly come as a great surprise. Rumours of talks had been circulating for some time, but how should we and the Manx government regard the development? Anthony Weber is a former board member of Guernsey Telecom, who bemoans the fact GT went private. He told John Morse that the company was proving very successful at the time.
One of the reasons why Guernsey Telecoms was privatised is because of the advancement of the technology and mobile telecommunications and so on, and the internet. It was thought perhaps private enterprise would be better. I think that's shown to be wrong in respect of what happened with JT, Jersey Telecoms. But now we're sort of in a new era where there's obviously been this Isle of Man tie-up. And obviously people in the Isle of Man will have a better view of whether it's better for them than I would.
Initially, in 1987, when Manx Telecom started, obviously they were backed by British Telecom, and they used the island as a testing ground a long way, so they brought in various things that we might not have had normally. Is that not the advantage of a private company developing a firm?
In theory, yes, but this private equity company admits that the knowledge and know-how is with JT because they built up their knowledge of telecommunications over many, many years, whereas the private equity company is more offering development finance and business acumen and so on. So I think it's more a question of the investment funds for whatever they're planning to do in the future. Because if you look at, say, Shaw, it's got operations in a number of British overseas territories, so it's sort of semi-worldwide, even though it's owned by a Gulf State company. But then you think, well, if a Gulf State company thought it was worth investing in Guernsey Telecommunications, then you can see why JT has done well and why they think there are future possibilities with the Isle of Man.
John Morse speaking there with the former board member of Jersey Telecom. Now, we have approached the Department for Enterprise for comment. It told us that the Isle of Man government understands the announcement that JT, Jersey Telecom Group, and CVC have formed a strategic partnership. And it goes on to say it's a sign of long-term confidence in the digital capabilities of the island's telecoms and data infrastructure. It's also worth noting that that merger can't go through until it's had regulatory approval. Well, we'll stick with business news for now because the Isle of Man Post Office is planning to raise the cost of sending letters next year and, for the first time, expiry dates could apply to stamps and postage labels. It's all part of this new business plan and Darren Timpson has been looking over the report. He joins me now. First of my Darren, what are the details here?
First of my Christian, yes. So the Post Office expects a surplus of about 2.9 million next year on income of just over £23 million. Letter volumes have fallen by around 11%, while parcel traffic has risen slightly. So the Post Office says price rises are needed to offset inflation and the continuing decline in mail.
So I suppose more focus on parcels then?
Precisely. There'll be new sorting equipment, better parcel tracking and expanded doorstep collections is what it claims. The Post Office is also investing in electric vans. It wants to up its fleet to as many as 70 by 2028. It's also looking to install solar panels and new finance systems.
Counter services are something no doubt that will be on some people's minds, especially as the government looks to withdraw the MyCard system.
Yes, yeah, so some counter services could change as those government schemes like the MyCard, like you say, and also vehicle licensing, which is set to move online by March next year. It's also exploring the use of AI in a customer service setting. Not sure what that will look like yet. However, the Post Office says it will consult residents before it makes any changes.
Darren, thank you very much. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads to begin with. We'll start in Onchan. There are temporary lights on Whitebridge Road at the junction with Windermere Drive, 24 hours a day for gas service installation work. Meanwhile, in Douglas, we've got temporary lights on Tramode Road. That's near Douglas Avenue, also 24 hours a day. Over in Braddon, there are temporary lights on Braddon Road. That's just up from Braddon Bridge for work on the entrance to a new residential development. And if we take a look at Sandton, the Mount Murray back road is closed for a concrete underpass to be built for the Comus Hotel and the Golf Club. Let's take a look at the steam packet. A couple of things to be aware of. Some sailings could be disrupted this week due to forecast adverse weather conditions. Tomorrow's Manxman sailings from Heeshan to Douglas, 1:45 and its 7:15 return could even be cancelled. A final decision is expected by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll take a quick look down at the airport. Everything I'm seeing on the arrivals board is all good. On the departures, I'm only seeing one thing, very minor delay, the EasyJet London Gatwick departure, scheduled to get away at 7:20, and that's delayed until 7:25. That's everything on my schedule. If there is anything which I've missed, then do ping me a text, 166 177.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
Want to give up smoking? October is Stoptober, the national campaign that encourages smokers to quit during the month. And if you can manage 28 days without tobacco, you're 5 times more likely to quit for good. But whenever you quit, remember, you're not alone. Help is available, and thousands of people like you have quit and now enjoy a healthier and wealthier life. To find out more, check out the latest Manx Health Matters podcast, now live via the Manx Radio website or your usual podcast provider. It really is a breath of fresh air.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, Douglas East MHK Jenny Farragher has been given leave to introduce a private members' bill in a bid to secure the provision of free period products around the island. That is the bill in its simplest form. John Moss has asked Ms. Farragher to expand what it aims to put in place.
We're going to provide free period products in publicly coordinated toilets, and the two aims are to sort of reduce that indignity of the caught short scenario where people aren't aware and then they have a lot of discomfort and indignity with that, and the second is to reduce period poverty on the Isle of Man, which is a real issue, and we know it is from research and statistics.
So this is providing it for everyone who might be in a situation where they need them?
Yeah, in publicly coordinated
not just,
toilets.
Not just schools, so, but everybody.
Absolutely, yeah, in all publicly coordinated toilets. So this is something that's been rolled out successfully in almost all of our neighbouring jurisdictions. Republic of Ireland are in their third reading. The UK's got one that was brought through as a private member's bill from a member of the House of Lords. Scotland's had it since 2021. Northern Ireland's had it since 2022. This is not a new or a radical proposition here. This is just trying to bring our rights in line with that of other citizens in surrounding. Period provision is just as essential as any provision in a toilet facilities.
2 points: cost, and the time of this administration is running out. Is it something that the House should be concentrating on?
Well, I obviously think so. The bill is ready to go because I have been drafting it since I last requested leave to introduce. So I'm just going to work as hard as I can to get it over the line. I can't make any guarantees to people, but I will just be working hard to get it over the line.
Cost.
In terms of cost, that's something that's being worked up with departments. Like I said in the debate
there... Can you use a ballpark figure?
Well, not at the moment, I can't. But like I said in the debate, the plan is to meet it within existing budgets at the moment, and that's what we are currently discussing. Now that I've got Lee to introduce, I will take those discussions further with the relevant departments.
Douglas East MHK Jenny Farragher speaking to John Morse there. What are your thoughts? 166 177, studio at manxradio.com. 18 minutes past five. And it's hoped new extradition laws will mean the island no longer has to rely on external systems and show the island's commitment ahead of next year's Moneyval assessment. Those are among the points highlighted by Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson as she brought the extradition bill for its second reading at this week's sitting of the House of Keys. She told members the bill is complex but important and would bring the island in line with Guernsey and Jersey.
The primary aim is to establish a clear, transparent and locally governed process for extradition. The bill ensures that decisions made by the island's own institutions, namely the Attorney General and primarily our courts, rather than relying on external frameworks. This reflects increased constitutional autonomy and it strengthens our legal sovereignty. The bill is undoubtedly a fairly complex piece of legislation, but it is also an important piece of legislation. While we do not expect that it will need to be used very often, Having modern extradition legislation that includes safeguards to protect human rights will help to demonstrate the value the island places on meeting its international obligations. The bill will bring the island into line with Jersey and Guernsey, which have had their own extradition legislation for a number of years. At least in the case of Jersey, we know that the legislation has been tested successfully on a handful of occasions over the last 20 years. Some honourable members may wonder why this bill is coming forward now, when there are other priority bills in the legislative programme. One reason is the island's forthcoming assessment by Moneyval, one of the 40 recommendations from the Financial Action Task Force against which we are assessed by Moneyval deals specifically with extradition. Although it might not be an absolute requirement for new extradition legislation to be passed and brought into operation before the assessors from Moneyval arrive in autumn 2026, with members' support, getting the bill to the point of at least royal assent will demonstrate an ongoing commitment to reviewing our legislation and updating it where required.
Chamber Wilson is speaking there, and the bill passed its second reading with unanimous support. 21 minutes past five, renowned Manx artist Brian Neil, who passed away last month, aged 95, has been honoured with the unveiling of his final work. Best known for creating the three legs of man sculpture at Ronalds Way Airport, his last piece, titled Ellipse, it has now been installed at the Tynwald National Park and Arboretum in St John's. The metal portal-like artwork was revealed at the weekend in the presence of his daughter Kate and close friend, fellow artist Ian Ritchie.
Absolutely amazing. It's just astonishing to see it here. And I mean, we've been standing here in the pouring rain and now the sun has come out and the island is lit up in front of us. And I think that sort of sums up what the feeling is. It's sort of like an opening up of sunshine and relief and joy and just incredible to see it now in place.
And what do you think your dad would have thought about today and the position and everyone enjoying it here today?
I know that he would be absolutely thrilled. I was lucky enough to visit the workshop with him. So he did get to see the finished sculpture and he could imagine it in the Manx landscape. He knew exactly where it was going to go and he knew the view across the island down to Quarrin's Tower over to Peel. So he could picture it even though he's not able to be with us today.
Yes, I've known Brian for probably 25 years through the Royal Academy in London. We became friends. He loved life and he always wanted fun, wanted joy, and he wanted to impart that to the students he taught when he was Professor of Sculpture at the Royal College of Art. The piece of sculpture here is representing him. It's not to a brief. It's him in his last years thinking, I want to leave something on the Isle of Man, not just my spirit, but a piece. And I think what the ellipse represents to me in conversation with Brian is, in the end, there's a beautiful emptiness, which is actually an eternity. And one might find the universe in the emptiness. And to frame that emptiness is the skill of a great sculptor. And Brian was simply outstanding.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Let's turn our attention to sport now. For older people wanting to start out in or get back into sport, Masters Athletics is a fantastic way to satisfy your competitive streak, stay active and be part of a community. That's the view of an island competitor, Neil Vondi, who recently represented Great Britain at the European Masters Athletics Championships in Portugal.
It starts at age 35. That's the first banding, 35 to 39. You're running with similar age people, so you don't have to compete against 20-year-olds. Mm. And if your football career is coming to an end, other sports like that, rugby, athletics is a brilliant sport to take up. I'm very competitive, so the competitive side of me motivates me. But running is such a special sport. You can go out and compete against yourself. You can go out and just, I'll go for a PB, and it's your personal best, and you can go out and do that. And it's also a very friendly sport.
And you think there's something maybe on the Isle of Man for that as well? Sarah Webster, who recently set a 24-hour record. Does the Isle of Man enable that with the way the Isle of Man is?
Yeah,
as well?
I think it's got a good running environment. Manx Harriers in Douglas have a good athletics program. Northern Athletic, which is a club I do, also give coaching. We run races, and organise races and athletics, which gives a nice vehicle for people to come into running at any level.
Looking for any competitions as well?
Yeah, I'll go back to, I think, 100 metres. UK number one in the British rankings this year and last year. I'd like to go and try and get a hat trick out of it.
Yeah.
But there are good sprinters now moving up into my banding. So that would give me like a lot of competition. The European Masters goes every other year and it switches with the World Masters. So next year it's the World Masters. It's in Seoul, South Korea. Wow. So I don't know whether that might be a step too far for me next year. I don't know. I have to see how it goes. It's a fantastic sport to be in. Anyone that's just given up sport, in particular, Masters Athletics is a great opportunity.
Neil Vondi speaking there. Let's keep with sport, and we can say Vastermeij now to Rob Pritchard. Vastermeij,
starting off, Isle of Man swimmer Sophie Casson has broken world and European records during the 2025 Swim England Masters National Championships. The Peel Swimming Club member, who was representing Carnforth at Ponds Forge in Sheffield, claimed three gold medals across three categories in the women's 40 to 44 age group. For that age bracket, she set new European records of 2 minutes, 5.36 seconds in the women's 200 metre freestyle and 8 minutes 54.79 seconds in the women's 800 metre freestyle. And between those two successes, she also clocked a time of 4 minutes 18.86 seconds in the women's 400 metre freestyle, which is a new Masters World Record. In darts, multiple Isle of Man competitors have been getting their campaigns underway at the 2025 WDF World Masters and 2025 World Paradarts Masters in Budapest in Hungary today. At the WDF World Masters, seven players have been taking part in the open and women's group stages in Budapest. Aaron Bradley, Aaron Kenyuk, Robbie Nelson and Alan Young have been in action in the men's category. Bradley won two of his three group phase matches, whilst Young claimed one victory. In the women's event, Margaret Kelly, Sophie Moore and Janine Halsall have been involved, with Kelly the standout performer with two wins, including one against Manx teammate Sophie Moore. Meanwhile, in the World Paradarts Masters, newly crowned Hungarian Masters champion Callum Brew qualified out of his group in the standing tournament before a first round defeat to Bruno Laurent. Elsewhere, a shock in the wheelchair competition, as the Isle of Man's Darren Kennish, who came into the championships as the wheelchair number one seed, failed to make it out of the group stage. And in hockey, Valkyries took a 2-0 win last night over Vikings A in the Mixed Premier League in one of two midweek fixtures this week. The result sees Valkyries go level on points, with Castletown Celts in second but behind the Southerners on goal difference. A huge top-of-the-table clash awaits tonight as Mixed Premier League leaders and defending champions Backers A face Castletown Celts at 7:30pm at King William's College. Both sides remain undefeated so far, with Backers boasting a perfect record at this point of 5 wins from 5 so far.
Tell you what, it must get quite nippy at this time of the year when you're out playing rugby or hockey, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I can tell you that from experience.
At school, you would be like, oh, I'm not feeling so well today. It's a bit cold outside.
It's not too bad in the afternoons. Once the sun goes in the evening, yeah, so that's a different matter sometimes.
Well, that's it for updating this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher. Up next is Howard Kane with Spotlight. He'll be followed by Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits from 6. Ernie Thorne will be with you from 9 o'clock, and then Dave Moore takes you through till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, so until then, take care, bye-bye for now.